Do you ever reuse a teaspoon once it's been in the sink? Well, if you do, then you're in good company. Today we'll be taking a closer look at the nuances of everyday interactions that make up the monotony of life. Let's never really learn the difference between meters squared and meters cubed. Grab your knitting needles and a blanket because it's time for three friends to sit around and sew a new patch into their quilt of friendship. So join me, Christian, under the covers with Josh.
Welcome to Patchwork.
And our very special guest, Nat Harris.
Welcome to Patchwork.
Thank you, Nat. We are very lucky to have Nat in Dion's seat for patch 131. She's currently one third of the Triple R weekday breakfast show Breakfasters. Previously a writer for Network 10's The Project, and supremely talented comedian who is currently touring her Melbourne International Comedy Festival show, Lathered, which you can see Tuesday, 16th of July at Comedy Republic in Melbourne. Nat, thank you for joining. Welcome to Patchwork.
Oh, what an intro. Thank you so much.
I just need to do the entire show reading off my laptop. That'll really help.
And it sounds so natural.
Yeah, does it?
Yeah, it's great.
Do you think you've got a good natural voice when reading something?
I do, yeah.
Try it.
Go on.
No. Read that intro.
And make it sound natural.
And eventually we'll get to Nat.
It's tricky.
Yeah.
Well, if you do, then you're in good company. Today we'll be taking a closer look at the nuances of everyday interactions that make up the monotony of life. Let's never really learn the difference between meters squared and meters cubed. Grab your knitting needles and a blanket because it's time for three old friends to sit around.
I think that sounds rubbish.
It's a prescripted script. You can't do it.
Yeah.
I think you did pretty good. Do you have 20/20 vision?
I've never had it tested.
Okay. Well, I'd say that's a good sign.
Well, it does worry me sometimes that I don't know what my eyes should like, because sometimes when I put on friends' glasses and it goes incredibly small but incredibly crisp, I'm like, is this what it's meant to look like?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it meant to be this sharp?
Yes.
Are you 20/20?
No.
What are you? Do you know? What do the numbers represent?
I don't know numbers, but I know I'm like in between long and short-sighted.
Isn't that normal?
No.
I'm right
there. Yes, I'm bang in the middle. I'm 20/20. No, I struggle with both, adjusting, and so I think it's called like astigmatism, but with other some variations and focus issues. And
Is there a cooler name than that?
I should not be on the roads. I should not be driving.
That's bleeding out of her hands and her feet.
Yeah.
It's stigmatism. Thank you.
Now I have gingivitis. My gums bleed. My vision's great.
Sorry, I got that wrong.
Yeah.
Vision's great, gums are bleeding.
Yeah.
Now, before we get started, Josh, we were on a phone call earlier in the week, and it's so early in the week that today's Monday, it was Sunday. No, it was last week. We're on the phone, and you were driving. I was a little disturbed by the fact that you were giving me a running commentary on what was happening around you while you're in the car. Mm. I get really frustrated when the people I'm talking to on the phone aren't paying attention to the phone call.
Okay.
Nat, are you someone who gets distracted on the phone?
100%.
What are you doing?
I am doing everything. I'm doing all my chores. I'm going through my to-do list. Like, I see phone calls as a time to multitask.
But do you think you're good at still giving a sense that you are concentrating on the ears?
No. Like, I literally dropped the phone today because I was trying to carry my laundry and put it in the back of the car. And then I was like, do I say sorry I dropped the phone, or do I just hope they didn't notice? And I just scoop it up and go, yep.
Do you ever have the thing where you've got a – you realize you've missed what was said? Do you just jump in and go, can you just repeat that? Or are you going to be like, yeah.
Oh, it depends who it is. Mm. If it's someone I think that would be like, what, and call me out, or if it's maybe like a bit of a surface chit-chat call.
A bit of a people pleaser. We'll just let you go with it.
Totally.
Like I did with Josh.
What's your style?
Well, because like, I was obviously paying attention to the road when I'm driving my car, Christian, which I think is a priority.
Sorry, yes, paying attention's fine, not... what's that guy? Is he turning? Is he turning right? That's weird.
Indicate.
There was a bit of that.
That's one of my most hated things on the phone.
But to be fair, my memory of that was I was 100% engaged with the conversation on the phone. Like, I don't recall being distracted. I was more simultaneously having an engaged conversation with you and also assessing the bad drivers around me.
There was a priority baked into the conversation
because
safety has to come first when you 100%. Are operating a vehicle, machinery.
Happy with the safety. Why did I have to know about it?
Yeah.
It was the commentary while I was speaking that was the dismissive part.
I'm trying to figure out, would I have said that if there was no one in the car and
that's
I wasn't
right.
on the phone?
That's
right. Yeah.
Would I have gone like, what's he doing?
Come on.
I think it might not have been vocalized, but it would have been like internally said. I don't think I would, in a fit of rage, I would yell or shout something in the car.
Yeah.
Which is rare. But like a little running commentary like that, I think that is reserved for when there's others in the car or on the phone with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that your kind of typical, is the car your time to maybe catch up on some phone calls?
The car's great because the thing I like about the phone call in the car is that you're kind of locked into this activity anyway.
Yeah.
I find if I'm having a conversation just around the house or something, I kind of have to walk around and do something because visually I need something to do during that call.
Yes.
Do you need something visual, Christian?
I'm a big walker. I do laps. And what I also find is when I'm doing my laps of the place, like I'll do the same circuit. It won't be like the full place.
Mm.
It'll be, okay, I'm going from the office to the kitchen and then I'm like kicking in the chair. And I'll do that on every single lap.
And then Christian, you hear him on the phone call.
Yeah.
The phone call, he goes, new PB, yes.
Yes.
Sorry, what was that? Nothing.
I'm curious, where do you stand with talking on the phone, headphones in public places like a tram or something?
I get super conscious of people listening in. I hate it.
Yeah, there's that weird stigmata, isn't there, still?
Yeah.
from the old days of the idiot wearing the little single Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah.
We still think that. Not headphones, but the AirPods have fundamentally changed those calls, right?
Yeah.
And now I feel somewhat comfortable, but you still feel like a lunatic.
Well, because what are you attending to with your eyes? That's what I always come back to when I'm on a phone call. What am I attending to with my eyes? Because in some ways it's good if it's in matters to the conversation, but otherwise if like you're on a tram and you're just like looking around.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
And if you like accidentally like just brush eye contact with someone, like that could be weird. Like if you're saying,
whilst talking,
you know, saying an odd word, like I don't know.
Like what?
And then ciabatta was dry. And then you just keep going. But here's the thing. I find it slightly annoying that people are all like just walking around talking with their headphones in.
Mm.
But then I like to talk to myself, like not like, oh, I'm so whimsy and I talk to myself. But like if I'm going to do a comedy gig, like I want to run the lines and I talk to myself. And then if someone catches you and then they're like scanty your ears and there's no headphones in, they're like, oh, she's crazy. It's like I think we should normalize talking to ourselves out in public because we're all doing it.
Are we?
Anyway.
I'm not an open self-talker.
Okay.
I'm highly self-conscious of the perception that this person, I don't want to impose in someone else's personal space. And I feel like when you are talking to yourself and walking by someone, they're like, at any given moment, this person could snap.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
This person is going to be going from talking to herself to talking to me about what she was talking to herself about. The ciabatta is dry.
The ciabatta was dry.
I don't know. It wasn't me.
The one I find really annoying is the when you're on your computer, because that to me is really distracting. And when
that was on my list.
Yeah.
It's my most hated.
When you can hear a mouse click or a keyboard clack,
okay. You're
like 100% you're not listening to me.
No.
Yeah.
100%. Because you can't be thinking about typing something out and be effectively listening to someone else.
Yeah, okay.
I can't stand it.
So what are the activities? Yeah, so computer, no.
No, pottering around the house. Sure.
Fine.
I'm fine.
Hang on. Wait.
What about TV?
Wait a sec. TV's crazy. Shut the fuck up, Nat. What? You're watching a TV show on a phone call? Hey, could you just keep it down? Sorry.
Oh, you know what it is? And there's the watching the sports. And you're going, oh, come on. Who are you listening to here?
Out.
Out, damn spot.
Oh, yeah. That tomato is so dry. Come on.
Pottering around the house, I think it's too broad. I don't accept, like, I'm happy for a walk around the house. I'm okay with a laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I think laundry's okay because it's a manual. I think manual tasks,
emptying
like big manual tasks.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to be careful with emptying the dishwasher. The sound. It's all about the sound that you're generating. There we go. If the sound you're generating is piercing, clapping on the,
great.
Clapping,
clacking,
tapping. What's keyboard?
Clacking. Click clack.
Old MacDonald.
If you tap dancing, that's no good.
Yeah, well, tap dancing's out.
Yeah.
No, playing the spoons? No.
Playing
the no. The triangle?
Do not touch the triangle. Yeah, anything making a very piercing sound, got to go. I think I've tried masking typing before, like very gentle, but you're too slow.
Yeah.
Then you're just wasting your own time.
Absolutely. You're not doing either tasks well. You're not engaging in the conversation fully, or you're not.
I think a good physically engaging activity, I think any kind of verbal-based thing or language-based thing where you're like using that same cognitive function is out.
Mm.
So a real physical task. I think, what about a bike ride? Would you do a bike ride? How's that? Because that's high concentration.
I think that that's great. I think that, yeah, you're engaged and open and creative on the bike. Like, I feel like I'm my best version of myself on the bikes. Like the way people play table tennis. So I can imagine conversationally that'd be a great place for me.
Great.
Yeah.
The body moving.
Yeah.
I think I don't really ride, but I think that would be too much concentration.
Okay.
Well, the riding car, of the bike.
Yeah. Because I think the car is like, I've done that so much.
Yeah.
But the bike, there's a lot more I'd be scared of and focused on.
I think you couldn't be riding on the roads. Like, you got to be on a bike path, maybe along the creek.
Yeah.
Okay.
But on the roads, navigating traffic, trams, no.
Okay.
Mm.
You will be hit. Kirk! And that'll be stressful for everyone involved. Let's hope the person on the other line is your emergency contact.
They're still on the line when the police get there. Hello, this is really rude. It's really loud on your end.
Recently, I started working in an office again for the first time in a few years, and there was a lot of etiquette things that I was getting back used to in the shared spaces, particularly in the tea room. And one thing in particular I noticed, which was different, was my use of the teaspoon. Because when I'm at home during the day, I will use my teaspoon to put my sugar in my tea, mix it up, bit of milk, mix that up, da da da, and then I will give the teaspoon a quick rinse, and I'll pop it like upside down, resting on the silver bit of the sink.
Ooh.
Not in the bottom, but like on the top bit. So not in the basin,
no,
but just on the top.
Okay.
So it's like clean. I've rinsed it off and it's going to sit there because I'll be back in a few hours for another cup of tea.
Just you can guarantee it. You live in a share house.
Yeah.
And people, your housemates would know. They're like, oh, that's Josh's teaspoon.
I think they see that spoon in that spot and they leave it alone. Which
and
is
they
good.
Know.
Yeah, they know it's not just, it's been purposely put there because it's sitting quite delicately upside down.
And just to be clear, you're not touching the teaspoon. It's just the water's running over it and then it's flipped upside down.
Yes.
You're not giving it, you're not sponging it clean.
No. Just a little rinse and put it back there.
A rinse, okay.
And we have, and the other thing I'll just talk about, we'll get to it, but like the number of there's heaps of teaspoons.
Okay,
it's not like there's one teaspoon in there.
I have questions, but I'll wait for more information.
And so then what happened at work is there's like, you know, the dishwasher there.
Mm.
And so I did my thing. I was like, the bench is clear. I'm like, it seems absurd to use a teaspoon to mix one cup of tea and then put it in the washing machine, in the dishwasher.
Mm.
So gave it a little rinse, left it on the countertop, on the silver bit. It was some days it stays there, some days it goes.
That seems so incredibly risky to me.
Yeah.
Because those people don't know your established behavior.
No.
What's to stop them from going, great, teaspoon, I'll scratch my neck with it.
I'm happy for them to do that because to me it's about reusing this thing that was barely used.
You're happy for them to scratch their neck with your teaspoon?
Yeah, they'll put it in the machine afterwards. They'll
do it.
What if it's a quick rinse and back up?
Bob in accounts is just deep-throating your spoon.
Bob, what are you picking your teeth with? Oh, I just found this teaspoon. I've been doing it every day.
I'm fine because I want it to be reused. That's my main. I actually don't care. It's not my teaspoon. It's his a clean teaspoon if you wish to use it.
Okay. And it's about saving water as well.
Yeah. It just seems pointless to me to have dunked something in liquid for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then putting it away to be cleaned.
And I mean, it makes sense. So it's like 50-50. Some days it's there. Other days it's not. Can you identify, are there part-time workers? You know, is what day Susan's on? Is she Monday?
Or she work from home?
Wednesday, Friday? Well, is it Tuesday, Thursday?
Oh, my God.
That Greg's on. I don't know. Can you whittle it down?
I haven't yet because it's a very big office.
Okay.
So there's a lot of foot traffic, a lot of people around. But how about you now? How are you managing your teaspoons after you use it?
I'm wild with them. Like, because I'm a big smoothie gal.
Mm.
And so I always get stumped with how to manage that because I've got a powder going in to the smoothie. I've got a yogurt. And then I've got...
Oh.
At that point, that spoon's done.
And then I've got a peanut butter.
That spoon's done.
Yeah. So some days, if I'm feeling loose, I'm double... Or if I'm in a rush, I'm like, what is the best order to do this?
Yes.
If there's going to be double dipping,
huge.
What do you go? Yogurt, powder, peanut butter. I think...
It depends if you're, what are you doing powder. In between?
What do you mean?
So between, so let's go, you're going yogurt.
Yeah.
And then you're going to peanut butter or powder. Is there a is there a lick in between? Is there a lick? And is that lick suffice for clean?
I think some days there would be a lick, if I'm being completely honest. Okay. And I'm double dipping all over the place.
Okay. Oh, shit.
Because you gotta, you got to dry, then wet. But yeah. Then you can't go wet to dry. That's your problem, right?
Yes. And then, but then some days I'm doing it all out of order. So I guess my point is, and then other days I'm running three spoons.
Oh, God.
So I guess what I'm getting at is my teaspoon game is erratic and all over the shop.
Yeah, right.
And some days it really spirals, and other days I'm like, I would really love to lock down a system on this.
I think three for really different things like that is good. The question is, are you revisiting those spoons on that same day? Or are they one and done?
They will typically probably go in a glass in the sink and soak.
Ooh, I hate that.
Yeah, I'm a soaker, I know.
Yeah, no, the glass in the bottom of the sink, I hate, visually, I hate that.
Yeah, what if it's in the corner though, tucked in, and that everything else is clean?
What if it looks great?
And the water's piping hot.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Like, if it's cold, spare me. No one's soaking in cold water, but it's piping hot.
How do you keep it piping hot?
Well, it's piping hot for a good 5 minutes.
I like returning to it after a few hours. You're like, ooh, that's tepid.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I can mix that in.
The worst I find is returning to some water that you've left that was hot.
Yeah.
Where you've left an oily teaspoon in there. So something you've used to maybe get some chili oil, some crispy chili oil.
Yep.
You put it in the sink, and then all of the sudden, the oil has attached itself to the bubbles of the soap and has hijacked their bubbling.
That's its job.
What do you mean? No, but it spreads, and then it's at the bottom of every single plate that you have to wash. You've got this.
Yeah, because
then you've got to clean the sink.
Yes.
With the oil. You've made a mess.
And it's all because of that one fucking teaspoon.
You've got to be rinsing that teaspoon, and it's got to be not touching the surface of the sink.
Yes.
Would you say?
It's got to float in midair.
It's
got to hover.
Hover. Yeah. Witchcraft is how I like to clean.
It's like the Matrix controlling the end of the spoon. There is no spoon.
But how are you? So I love like the passive aggressive, like laminated signs in the work kitchens. Like, there is no kitchen fairy. Well, load the dishwasher.
The interesting thing coming into that space as a new person for a couple of weeks now, and it's a big office, I don't fully appreciate the systems. I'm like, are there cleaners that come and put on the machines? Mm. Are we meant to unload them? Is there a team that, I don't know. So I'm like very sheepishly just using the facilities in a way that I think works and keeps clean, to the point where often I'll be like, I'm just going to quickly wash this plate and dry it and put it away because that's easier than figuring out, is this one dirty? Is this one clean? That's really hot, but they're stacked and maybe it's the heat from the other one that's clean. So I just sometimes just like, I'm just going to clean this like I was at home.
My workplace has two washing machines, dishwashers, sorry.
Yeah.
I always get them confused, by the way.
Same.
34, still can't work them out.
He's got bolognese all over his top again. Chuck it in.
Two dishwashers, and you see it happen all the time. One of them's just being cleaned, and someone shoves a dirty dish in there without any regard.
No.
And that's the end of the system.
That's it.
That's gone.
How are you? So what are you doing with your teaspoons? And does it change between work and home, Christian?
Well, I work from home more or less full time now. Okay. So I really don't have to factor in anyone else other than myself with the teaspoon system. Teaspoon. Yeah.
You could be shoving them up your nose.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally. I love the work from home revolution's been great. It's been so good.
I've got piping hot water on my desk with me. Go in and out like paintbrushes. I will use it, give it a wash, a proper wash, and then put it onto the dish rack, in the dish rack, and then reuse it when I need to use a teaspoon again.
But you've ostensibly cleaned it.
Just in case it's not reused again, it's there clean.
Okay. Well, this is the question I had for you though, Josh. Is your teaspoon strictly tea?
Generally, it'd be, it's just for stirring up tea or coffee.
Yeah.
So it doesn't do any more heavy lifting than that.
Okay. And how committed are you to your system at work? Do you want to try?
I'm always just going to leave it out because it just feels so wasteful to have used a thing once and then pop it back in the machine.
Why don't you carry it in your pocket?
Because that's freak behavior. That's
a fantastic idea. No, it's that not. Is a fantastic idea.
What you need a little spoon shaped container. Got,
yes.
Or I think you say like a little pocket knife.
Or a pocket knife.
I fold it out to a spoon on there instead of a knife.
Swiss Army spoon.
Yeah,
Swiss
Army spoon.
Oh, that's a honestly,
$1 million idea.
That is, yeah, Shark Tank.
Or you go around one by one and goes, who the fuck is moving my spoon?
You need to disguise it so you have it on one side it's a pen, and everyone's like, it's just a man with a pen in his pocket. You pull it out and the end is a spoon. Watch this. You write with the end of the spoon as well.
Say, yeah, I was gonna say it could be a double like a fork and a knife. Knife one. One end's a spoon, one end's a pen.
A fork and a knife.
Yeah. You know, you have opposite sides.
Yes, yeah.
So you could do one that's a spoon.
And a pen.
Yeah. The office teaspoon.
I would legitimately stir my tea with a pen. If I couldn't find a teaspoon in my house. I'm just a pig.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do that.
I hate to reveal it, but you did arrive at our house with
toothpaste on my bag.
On your bag and your jumper, and then made the same comment.
It's true.
And there's not much anyone can say to that.
Will you ever use, in the absence of a teaspoon, Nat, will you ever upgrade to a big dessert, like a bigger spoon?
Oh, 100%.
Really?
Yeah, I just said I'd use a pen.
But it feels so wrong to me.
She brushed her teeth with a jumper.
It always feels so wrong to me because I'm like, the teaspoon is the perfect size for some tasks. And when I upgrade, I'm like, this feels ridiculous.
Yeah. What about Nutella and peanut butter or kind of spreads like that?
That's a knife job for me.
Really?
I think so.
This is fantastic to watch unfold. Wow. I don't want to have a say in this, but I've always waited for someone who uses a teaspoon to spread.
Yeah, because what happens when you get to the bread? What's the play then, Mrs. Spoon?
Oh, no, I'm just eating it straight. I'm eating the Nutella. Oh, okay.
Then I'm the freak for eating off a knife? That's what you're thinking?
Yeah.
That's dangerous, Josh. You really hurt yourself.
Got to get a spoon into this. Come on.
I love that your head Nutella's like yogurt.
It is. Yelna should do a Nutella-flavored yogurt.
Oh, yum.
Yum. Very good.
My question to you both is, if you drip a little bit of tea, like a few spots of tea on the floor,
yep.
What do you do with those spots?
Oh, I mean.
What season is it?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. Mm. Now, we're in winter. Josh, you've walked with your cup of tea, a couple of drops behind you. Mm-hmm. You look back, you can see them. So they reflect, you can see them on the floor, right?
I think.
You're wearing socks.
I was going to say, I think. If I'm wearing like my explorers,
yep.
Just gonna dab that on the sock.
Great.
Okay. If I've got like white sports socks on,
yep.
I will probably go and get a little paper towel boy.
Okay.
And just quickly do it.
Paper towel.
But if I'm barefoot, happily run the barefoot over it just to smush it in a
so
bit.
So it's always getting some kind of foot treatment.
And also what's the surface of the floor? Because if it's like a tile with a bit of grout in the middle, yeah, that's like you could rub
you
that into the grout.
You're
working in.
Love this.
But if you, polished floorboards.
Yeah, that's
hard. A polished, like, concrete, I don't know, what are
they? Well, you've got to kind of spread it out enough so it evaporates, right? Yeah. That's the goal at that point. Just spread this out.
Spread it out.
So I don't have to bend down.
Do my back.
That's what we're trying to avoid.
So spread it out thin.
Yeah, so it evaporates quickly.
So the idea is that you dilute the color across enough surface that you can no longer see it.
Yeah, precisely.
And then you get one of those big yellow slippery surface things and put it on top.
Yeah. I think the sock is the go. The sock is the go for me. Yeah. But it's kind of like, it's kind of tough, right? Because sometimes I just leave it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
how many drops? What's critical mass for you?
If there's like a drop, like a single drop, I'll do the kind of, because I always lose it. We've got polished floorboards.
Okay.
I lose the drop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I can't find this, I know it's dropped.
Yeah.
If I can't find this drop in a minute,
then no one can.
Then
that's it.
We'll just wait till someone falls over. Slips a disc and then we go, well, there it is.
Oh, that, there. You're kidding.
What about if it's on carpet, Christian?
Ooh,
what are you, I've are you got, changing the
I'm
game plan?
Wrong person to ask. I don't know how to spot clean on any material. I've got no idea.
Oh, bicarb soda and vinegar is good because I was really sick during COVID and I ate a palak paneer in bed on a dusty pink doona. And I tell you what, that stain was unforgiving. It looked like someone had shut the bed. And I just started seeing my partner. I was like, well, I need to buy new sheets or get rid of this stain.
So bicarb.
Yeah.
And vinegar.
I can't remember like the portions off by heart, but yeah, my memory.
If,
so. Yeah.
What if it's just like a glass of water or something? So it's not, it's not going to cause a stain.
Okay.
But you've definitely spilt something. Maybe some beer, maybe some water, whatever it is.
Well, I've said it before on this podcast. I will always defer to the tea towel. Throw a tea towel on top of anything and that's it.
Yeah.
You just stamp it down a bit and hope that it absorbs up.
Do you go enough that you're like until you keep patting it and it doesn't get liquid in anymore? Or do you just do a cursory? You just do a little bit.
Cursory.
And then how many times can a tea towel go on the floor before it's the floor tea towel? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, okay, teapot.
Before it's a mop.
Towel, is now no longer a tea towel. Yeah. It's a floor rag.
Yeah. I grew up in a family that would, after the floors had been mopped, my mum would scooch around with a tea towel underneath her feet to do the drying up. I mean,
that's like those things.
A tea towel's very versatile.
Yeah, that's like those inventions. You can buy those little mops for your pet's feet. It's like your mum doing that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's called Chindogu. It's like those useless Japanese inventions.
Oh.
That's like the category of those things. And you could buy little mops. So your little cat or your dog poddles around your house and mops your floors for you.
What are they using for the water?
Dusting issue. But what happened to me recently when I bring up the carpet stuff is cracked a can of beer and I just trundled up the stairs, starts frothing over, didn't quite get the lips on it.
Yeah.
A lot of foamy beer hitting it. And I was like, the carpet's kind of shit anyway.
Yeah.
But I was like, how much work am I going to do here?
Yeah.
Because I just don't want it to stink of beer, but I'm not going to take ages to like get a wet cloth. So I ended up just getting a few tissues.
Okay.
Just giving a bit of a pad, get the worst of it off, and then into the bin.
And tissues, not paper towel.
That's what was right next to me.
Okay.
So I was like,
oh, you really went minimum effort.
Yeah.
That is literally, because that you can't scrub at all. There's no friction with the tissue.
Well, you do it. It just, peels off.
It peels off in it. You kind of make more of a mess, really.
Yeah.
So it's literally absorb, minimum.
I did. I hammered it down with my fist. So
okay.
I gave a bit of a go.
Quick spray of Rexona. Good as new.
Links Africa over the top. No worries.
Carpet cleaning business you could have.
I think I went down for a bit of a sniff test afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like, if it doesn't stink of beer, I'm okay here.
Yeah, yeah. But how long are you doing the sniff test for? For like, you just wait an hour?
No, I kind of just did it immediately and was like, oh, yeah, it doesn't smell too beery.
Yeah.
So I think I got away with it. Hmm. But yeah, I think it's got to be, for me to like bother to clean something up significantly, it's got to be a big spill.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up on the small stuff.
That's interesting. That's surprising to me because it seems a bit disproportionate maybe or something with what you do with the teaspoon versus your approach to the carpet. I'm like, wow, I'd expect more from you.
He just flips that into the carpet upside down.
Yeah.
They'll leave it. That's Josh's stain.
Yeah. Just hose it down for a bit. That'll be good.
Previously on Lathered, I was up at the cabin to clear my head. We needed some time away, Dusty and I. I was cooking by the fire when I heard a knock at the door. Who could it be?
Well, I say I'll get that.
Dusty, no! You stay in the kitchen. I'll grab the door.
Hello, pussy.
Ricardo!
It's me. I'm back.
What are you doing here? I thought you were dead.
I was dead, but I came back for you.
Where have you been all this time? My God. What happened to your face? You've been mauled by a dog.
I got attacked. It's not important right now. Okay, it's a long story. The dog attacked me a bit. It munched away. People thought I was dying.
Pussy, come back inside, my dear.
Dusty, please, stay.
This lap's getting cold.
Stay by the carbonara. You don't want it to curdle at the edges.
Pussy. I'm back for you.
Ricardo, I needed a bit of time to think this over.
But do you not remember the nights we spent together?
I remember that you were married to my daughter, my baby girl, Lisa.
Yes.
And I tell you, she means everything to me, and I only kissed you when I thought she was dead.
But pussy, she was my way to get you.
Oh, but you need to know, Ricardo, she's out of the coma, and she's back, and she's singing at Casanova's Cafe tonight, and it would break her heart. Ricardo. And I'm with Dusty.
I say, excuse me, sir, I think you've got the wrong establishment.
Dusty, please, put that down.
Now push it, please. One step back for me, two steps forward for you.
Who's this man? Is he your father?
This is my...
Father?
What? Ricardo, you've been gone for over 15 years.
I know.
I had to move on. There was Dusty, then there was Trevor, then there was Richard, then there was Dusty again, and then there was Trevor again, and now it's Dusty.
I don't need to hear the details, okay?
Ricardo!
Please, pussy, take me. Let us go out of here.
Please, come in. I'm making a carbonara.
Pussy, this carbonara certainly isn't sitting very well.
Dusty, you know, that's for me. Ricardo, can I fix you a bowl of something?
I would love that.
What are you in the mood for, Ricardo?
Something spicy.
Oh, yeah. What about a paella?
Oh, paella,
yes. With lots of chili.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Oh, my stomach.
Dusty's not very adventurous. Dusty likes more of a cheese and white bread kind of thing. Not like you, Ricardo. Oh, yeah. Let me get...
How fast can you make it?
Oh, very good. Get my paella pan. Go on.
There's something wrong in this here bowl.
I think there's something wrong with your father.
Husband.
Dusty's got a bad gut. That's all right. Just take a seltzer and you'll be fine. Take a lie down. Here's a glass of water. That's right. All up, Dusty. Now, Ricardo, what were we saying?
You are going to fix me a paella.
Of course. Here it is.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy. And let me just grab the tiramisu from the fridge.
pussy.
Too spicy?
I think something might be wrong with this paella.
Oh, no. Now, remember, Ricardo, when you left town, who'd you owe money to?
Oh, pussy. I owed money just to Roger.
No, I think you'll find that...
It was only Roger, I swear.
Roger was in business with me. No. You took my dog.
And the dog was worth millions of dollars.
My little cat, too.
I'm a big animal fan. What can I say?
Here, have a glass of water.
Thank you.
Don't drink the water, son.
Bon appetit. And au revoir.
So, I made an impulse purchase the other day. Mm. It was on special, saw the yellow tag, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try something new. And I bought some fabric softener.
Huge.
So, at the moment, I am going to the laundromat to do my washing because I don't have a washing machine.
You gotta say dishwasher, weren't you?
I didn't know what I was gonna say. Spoiler alert.
I honestly catch myself every time I go for it and I still get it wrong.
Yeah. Because I don't have a bucket. I don't have a bucket and a spoon. Like, what was the name from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. You just got a wash rack.
Grandpa Joe just.
I've got a large oar there. I was just doing my washing.
Did everyone else fast forward, cheer up, Charlie?
Probably, I
cheer
think so,
yeah. up, Charlie.
Yes.
See ya.
This song sucks.
Hate it. We get it. It's Charlie sad. Think it on the up. Fabric softener, never used it. I was like, yeah, let's try something new. And free ported a dash in.
Oh, wow.
Because you got your sections when you go, when you've got these kind of like industrious machines, industrial. Like size machines,
Did
I guess.
Did you know which tube thing you're meant to put it in?
Yeah, well, it's got a label, which is handy, isn't it? Right. So they're like detergent, softener, and bleach. I mean, who's putting bleach
Jesus,
in?
That's really dangerous.
What are they washing?
Yeah, like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know. Tea towels, probably. Floor tea towels.
Pawak paneer.
Yeah. Some heavy duty things. Yeah. Some dark things have happened when the bleach
is. I swear it's paneer. But I need the bleach.
Just loudly. Oh, that Indian food was great, wasn't it? Delicious.
I'm just mixing. I think it's always interesting as well when I see how people kind of approach it. Like, you get to witness other people doing their washing at the laundromat. Mm. And so I have definitely got, same as my teaspoon game. It's just a bit fast and loose and a guesstimate.
Yeah, it's like you're like a chef in the kitchen, like a bit of salt. You know what? More salt. More, I love salt.
Let's do it. Let's pile it in. And if you're going to the laundromat, you're doing one wash a week. So you're really trying to get your money's worth. Yeah. So you're loading it all in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, the fabric softener, I couldn't believe it. Took it home, doing the shakeout, putting it out on the washing line. And it was like, wow, this is, I've seen the other side.
Oh.
Because I don't use it.
Have you ever tried it?
No. Oh.
Whoa, 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 whoa. It's beautiful.
What does it do?
Really?
It does what it says. It softens your clothes. Like I thought we were all kind of like snapping our clothes.
Yeah.
And folding them like in.
But I don't
like a cardboard box.
Yeah, like crispy and little bits of tissue that you left in the pocket.
Because
like...
my memory of fabric softener is incredibly fragrant.
Okay.
That's my only association with fabric softener.
This brand that I went for, definitely not overly scented.
Good.
Because I've got sensitive skin, so I don't like anything too scented. Mm-hmm. But no, it was just the texture. Wow.
Did you even bother to read the amount you meant to put in?
No.
You just guessed.
No, I just guess.
Is that common for you? If you're doing a recipe or something, you pay close attention or you're doing other things? Or is that like for some reason you chose, no, fabric softener is the one that I know how this works.
I wish I could like be more surprised and be like, no, it's just fabric softener. But it's like, no, everything in my life, I just guesstimate.
It is weird that thing because I've heard it go both ways of like, I trust when someone designs a thing and they say, this is the best way to use this product.
Yeah.
I go, I should trust you because you design the product.
I love that.
But then in our consumerist capitalist society, I go, but you want me to use a lot of this quickly. So I need to buy more.
Yes.
So I'm going to use a lot less.
Oh, use a little less.
Yeah, because I'm like, surely they're overestimating because they don't want to use it up.
That's true. I never thought about it like that.
So I'm always trying to err on the lower side, but I never assess effectively when I do my washing.
Okay. Mm.
I don't remember and be like, does this wash suck? Are these not clean enough?
Do you ever find like, I feel like there are some people, and it goes back to like being a kid and being in primary school, there were some people that just always smelt fresh. They smelt like Omo. They smelt like fabric softener. I was never that kid. I could never get my washing to have like a strong scent.
My year 10 chemistry teacher, Mr. Patterson,
fresh.
I would sniff I asked permission to smell his shirts because he smelt like crisp linen.
Yeah.
It was the first adult I'd met. Where I was like, sir, your shirt smells unbelievable.
Sir, may I have a sniff, please?
Yes, may certainly. I, sir? A sniff? A sniff? What
did he offer up? The cuff?
No. I got him right around the ribs.
Oh.
Because it was in a day where not all the teachers were wearing skin tight shirts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It had a bit of like blossom about it.
Yeah,
sure. So I wasn't on the skin.
The ribs is probably the most appropriate spot for such an inappropriate thing to do to a teacher.
Yeah. Well, a couple of guys would get in for a sniff once I opened the floodgates.
Okay.
It smelt fantastic.
You know what that is? That's a classic example of the kids trying to derail the class.
Yeah.
And like playing a lot because it was one of our teachers, like the physics teacher, and the kids knew that he loved four-wheel driving.
Okay.
So the start of every lesson, they're like, hey, sir, you been out driving lately? Just to see how long you go, oh, yeah, I went out on the weekend, boys, and just rattle on for 10 minutes. Like, yes, we
got it. Just get another 5 minutes out of it. Yeah. And then we are like 10 minutes from recess. So I've just never had that scented laundry.
I do remember, though, like the bed sheets in particular, I remember them coming out of the machine and smelling quite good. I don't have that with mine, which makes me think, am I not using enough?
It sounds like
powder,
not.
Or maybe I should just give in to fabric softener.
I think you should try it at least once. Treat yourself. Look,
do you do it just for the sheets, or is it for the general wash?
It's for the general wash because now that I'm going to the laundromat, I'm typically just trying to cram it all in one load. So the sheets and the clothes are all going in one hit. Everything's got to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no gentle wool wash. It's all on cold.
Yes.
The water temp's got to be cold. It's got to be versatile.
Is that
there's
just,
wool in there. I'm throwing wool items in.
Is that just because so it doesn't affect anything?
Yeah. It's just like your best bet. Safest bet.
Yeah, the cold one, I'm leaning away from it more these days. Yeah. I do often use it. But when I went overseas and we're like, oh, not hot on this one, they're like, cool, 30 degrees.
Yeah.
So they didn't say cold. They were like, we'll just do it at 30 degrees.
Okay.
So I've kind of defaulted to that sometimes.
30 degrees.
Yeah, just to make that's my cold. If I just want stuff that but I don't think some, there's something well enough.
In my gut feeling is you're either cold or it's boiling, like
super hot.
Just use it out of the kettle kind of thing, because something about the warm water makes me feel like it's kind of like a perfect breeding ground for bacteria. It's like let's give them somewhere to grow.
Yeah, a little bit of heat will just help it fester through.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you use Fabric Soft and Cushion?
Well, I used to, and I honestly I got to a point where I was using fabric softener, liquid detergent.
Yeah.
A little bit of like an extra drop or two of whatever.
Okay. Then you're doing your stain removers.
Right. Your nappy sands. God, nappy sand.
That's a luxury.
Wow-wee. Even the name, nappy sand.
They don't do the nappy sand challenge anymore, do they?
Can I?
God, that was
cool. Can I just say, that's a trusted brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I trust nappy sand.
Yep.
And that, you know what? That's like the Kodak, the Band-Aid. It's nappy sand.
It is.
You don't say stain remover. You're like, get the nappy sand.
Yeah.
Get it out. Get the nappy sand. That's so true. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Anyway, I'm off the nappy sand. I'm off the liquid detergent. I'm off fabric softener. Now I've got a sheet. It's like a paper that you put in the detergent slot because it's supposed to be eco-friendly.
Okay, yep.
And it's fragrance-free. Then we do a few drops of tea tree oil on top. I don't know what any of this is doing. Yeah. I honestly think.
Do you feel like your clothes are getting clean?
I don't know. I didn't even know in the past whether they were clean.
Yeah.
Like a wet, in my head, it's just wet fast equals clean.
Do you reckon, could you hose them down and hang them on the line to the same effect?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I feel like with polyesters, if you've like sweat in them, that's when you can tell the difference.
Big time.
Right? That's it.
Those synthetic fibers, they...
They really hold on to that stink.
You sweat in that once, twice.
Yeah.
You're out.
Yeah. You're out.
You can hold on and then you put it on. It could even be really fresh and then the smell just, you heat it up a little bit.
It hides for a bit, right?
Yeah, that's the worst when you can't tell and you're like, I think this is clean. And they're like, this isn't clean.
No.
This hasn't got clean enough.
No.
God, those odor germs are very clever.
Yeah, they find a way out.
Yeah.
So, okay. But I think you're wearing a white jumper.
Mm.
So I think that is a perfect kind of... thing to bake, like I think you're doing well if
Thank
that
you.
Is the state of your jumper.
I think this is more what I do when I'm wearing white.
Okay.
I'm very conscious now. When I'm wearing white, it's just for regular activity. There's no eating.
Yeah.
There's no drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did wear this when we just had dinner.
You know what always happens to me? Every time I'm wearing a white shirt, Bolognese appears. It just appears. I'm like, why am I wearing this and making this right now?
Let me give you a big bowl of bolognese for free, Josh, and red wine.
It's so frustrating all the time.
Nat, thanks for coming on the podcast. Here's a big bowl of bolognese.
How are you guys at pegging up and hanging out on the line? Do you have a particular strategy you're using for that, Nat?
I mean, I'm pretty liberal with the pegs. Like, I always make sure I have a lot. On me. Yeah, I guess two pegs. I've gotten a bit more particular, always at the top of the t-shirt, never going folding over it.
So really? Interesting.
Yeah, so you don't get that crease in the middle. You have a little bit of a fold.
Tiny fold.
Then you do two.
But
pegs.
Don't you then end up with like a little tutu at the bottom of your t-shirt?
Yeah, that's by design. Yeah.
No, that's great. That's exactly how I want it.
But do you have trouble? What kind of pegs are you using?
Oh, I've got some wooden pegs.
Are they good?
Yeah, they're great.
Because I got so fed up with crap pegs, cheapest you can buy plastic ones, breaking all the time, flying all the time. I bought some new, shout outs to Heggs Pegs.
Heggs Pegs.
So good.
Heggs Pegs.
Wow. What
awesome. They're just nice and chunky and great plastic, good fucking metal bits on them. And they've got built-in hooks as well.
What do you mean?
Yeah, right.
Built-in hook.
So if you've got like... women's things with the little straps and stuff.
Yeah.
You can slide them onto the hook.
Like on the hangers.
Yeah.
When they have that.
It's great.
Women's things with the straps and stuff.
You know, spaghetti straps. No, spaghetti straps. Spaghetti straps.
Okay, spaghetti straps. Yeah, a delicate strap.
Yes.
Yeah.
A delicate strap. I don't have. Do you know anything with a delicate strap, Christian?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, Josh. It's none of your business, though, is it?
It's covered in bolognese.
And you're in a share house as well.
I am.
So, is there what is there, a Hills Hoist in the backyard?
Yeah, there's maybe a 10-row just against the wall thing.
Okay.
And the thing you've got to work out is I like to double space.
Yep.
So I'll do one row gap, one row gap.
Why?
To let the airflow.
You're on a classic 10-row.
Airflow.
What are you going to?
Yeah, it's
airflow.
True.
You want more air to get through.
You want more clothes up there.
No, but that's the thing. That's what I have to assess. Are there others using this line today?
Oh. Yeah.
Am I doing more loads or can I get away with one and done?
I hate the idea of coming back for a second load at a different point in time. It's all at that one time that I'm doing the laundry.
That's
they all dry together. They all get put away together. And that's
it. And at that point, if you've got too much, you have to go row by row. You don't have the luxury of space.
That's right.
But if you're doing a half load, then I'm exactly the same. And it's the way you maneuver through
the
line to peg it is that you need that buffer space.
I always feel like I end up pegging at the front and then I'm like, great, now I have to like swim through these clothes to put the other ones
up. I'm lost.
Somebody help. Oh, this is quite fun.
It is actually quite nice on a really hot day.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like wet, cold clothes. Like,
In movies, like there's always like a plantation farm and a beautiful woman and her husband running through white sheets.
It's beautiful.
It's not that experience though, is it?
No, but sometimes like on a balmy day in the afternoon and you put your sheets up and maybe you've just indulged in some fabric softener and it blows and you go, wow.
That's the problem. Mine is like a cardboard box hitting me in the face. Yeah.
Nat, do you have any strategy with, say, your socks and undies, your pants, your tops? Are they just whatever gets out of your hand goes up next, or are you collating and combining particular types?
I try and collate and combine. So, you know, the sheets, the bigger items, the t-shirts, the jumpers, the jeans are on the line. And then there's the clothes horse.
The clothes horse is for the overflow.
Yeah.
On your delicates.
So that goes, the socks, the delicates, the underwear.
Because here's a little tip that I do.
Okay. Ooh.
I like to go, you know how you like the extra airflow?
Yeah.
Sometimes I go like row of shirts, row of socks and undies. Row of shirts, row of socks and undies.
Yeah, wow.
Just to keep that spacing up, you know.
Josh, you're very clever. He's very clever. I told you before, and you said that he wasn't.
You said, well,
what was I doing this, guys?
You were sitting there. That's what I was saying.
Would you ever go as far as color coding? If you saw it,
come on, mate. I'm not a freak.
That's where I draw the line.
I've thought about, like, I try and do, like, the sock. I don't bother with the pairing of the socks.
Okay.
I was like,
you don't?
Nah. I'll figure it out.
God, it feels good to do that front loading investment. To say, these socks go together because I know when they come off, straight into a little ball.
Do you guys ever have like long sleeve shirts and find that the arms get so incredibly twisted on each other that they're almost in knots?
No.
I wash a lot of shirts and these arms just get wrapped up. And I'm like, you try to pull one thing out and seven things come out.
Your spin cycles.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds chaotic.
It's crazy.
What about and the clothes get folded? Do they go on the bed or do they go straight in the cupboard?
Fantastic. Really fantastic question.
Yeah.
It's on the bed for me.
Me too.
I can't process that all in one interaction.
Hang on.
I need a week for them to make it.
So you're saying you're off the line, you unpeg and then fold? Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes, we'll yank from the line.
Yeah.
Because it'll typically be in a rush of like, oh, I've got to get them off.
Yes.
Is that pegs flying everywhere?
Yeah, pegs. Yeah. Ow! Ow! I'm losing eyes. Ow! Cats scampered away. And then in a basket upstairs later in the day, it'll get a fold.
Yes.
Maybe while I'm doing something else, maybe while I'm on the phone.
Yes.
Pairing some socks and then, they'll typically like go onto another surface.
Yes.
Maybe 2 to 4 other surfaces. No, 2 to 3 other surfaces before they're making the cupboard. They'll probably go on the floor twice.
That's
as
so
well.
Interesting because I sort of don't, so I kind of combine it. So it's in the wash basket. And then that'll go up and go onto the bed.
Yeah.
And then that might sit there for a bit.
Yeah.
But from there, it gets folded and put straight away.
Wow.
So the folding is immediately followed by the putting away.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll do a transition into another basket that's on the floor but hidden away.
Isn't it crazy how lazy we all are?
Yeah, yes.
It's crazy. Basket.
But that's it, right? It's the luxury of, I know that basket has fresh clothes in it. When I need those fresh clothes, it'll come out of the basket.
It's so frustrating sometimes because I'm like, it's like 5 or 6 minutes out of your life.
I know.
But you just delay it and push it away. It's so annoying.
Because I'm just not into folding. I think I just want hooks everywhere. Already. I just love hooks.
Yeah.
Just get it off the ground.
Hex pegs.
Hex pegs. Get me hex pegs on the walls. Get them on the doors. I want a hex pegs my life.
When in the colder months and you don't quite get a full dry outside, how heavy are you going on the hooks inside and hanging things up around your room?
Yeah,
are you finding any surface you can?
Yeah, my apartment, like at the moment is just there's things on coat hangers.
Yeah.
Hanging from every door handle, every...
What's the weirdest one you found for a coat hanger? Because I've done like drawer handles and that seems normal. Yeah. And then sometimes I've tried to hang it like over the top of a door as it's open.
Will you bridge multiple coat hangers together? So you'll you have one coat hanger with things and then you'll use a towel or a sheet as a bridge to the next coat hanger.
That's great. No.
No, yeah, I haven't even thought about that.
You know what? That means a lot. To get your approval on that one, that's a big win for me.
Because it's all about, you've got to have them in the room that gets the hottest, right?
Yes.
For us is our kitchen and living area, but it is the most highly trafficked area of the house. Mm.
That's tricky.
So it's this really annoying thing of like, cool, we've all got our washing in here all the time over winter. And it's rammed.
Why haven't we become accustomed to putting a clothesline inside as well?
Yeah, that's a good... Well, they've got them in like over in Europe, I feel like maybe like kind of like a drying cupboard or something that. Is that a thing?
Europeans.
Yeah.
God love them.
So get a drying cupboard.
Yeah.
Or if not, just wedge it in front of the oven. Yeah.
Right? Well, because the thing is we have a dryer, but that essentially to me doesn't exist as a product.
No.
Yes.
It's a rare... last case scenario, but it's only ever going to be towels and bed sheets.
And then it's like, how do you figure that out? It's like, how you have three housemates? No, there's three of you all up.
Four. Every now and again.
So it's like, if someone was to come home, it's like maybe you use the dryer once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's like, if they come home and you've had a day off or whatever and you're using the dryer, is there a part of you that's like, I never normally use it. This is one off. It was because it was raining. And they'd be like, Josh is using the dryer again.
There's definitely a feeling of like, I judge a bit when there's stuff in there.
Yeah.
I'm like, this could have waited.
Yeah, okay.
This didn't need to go on right now.
Ankle socks? Yeah. Are you really? Are you kidding me? Who's taking the piss? I only want to see heavy jackets and linen in here.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, I just find that I really do wait for the last possible moment. I guess I'll do this. But the thing is, as soon as it goes in the dryer, it's out of my mind.
Mm.
It could live in there for 3 or 4 days before I go, shit.
The dryer just seems like a dangerous place to me. Mm. Like stories of shrunken jumpers and lost socks. I don't know.
Wicked. It's like voodoo magic.
Yeah, it is. If something goes in there, I don't know what's coming out.
No.
It's safe when you're hanging things.
My housemate recently chucked some tennis balls in and it re-floofed up his jackets.
Yes.
What? He swore by it.
Hang on.
He's like puffer jackets.
Wait, the tennis balls were in with the jacket.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and it tumbles around and gives them new life.
Was it loud?
I don't know. I wasn't there for it, but he loved it.
Could he use the tennis balls afterwards?
To play tennis?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, to wear as a jacket.
He gets to the tennis court, starts trying to hit this jacket. Oh, damn it, I got confused again.
That'd be lovely. Like a warm tennis ball. How could you maximize them? You could use it like the spiky ball to roll out your back.
Oh, wow.
Lower back.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's like mini,
huge.
They're almost like...
pegs and that.
Together.
Yeah,
in
million
one.
Dollar idea.
Heat your pegs.
Yeah.
What? Heat your pegs.
Heat your pegs.
Every so often on Welcome to Patchwork, we like to play a game called Nursery Rhymes. Now, in Nursery Rhymes, we find a nursery rhyme and we also write a nursery rhyme. The point of the game is to read both out and have our fellow hosts judge and guess which is the accurate one and which was the one that was written by us. Josh, would you like to start?
I will kick us off. I'll kick us off with a nursery rhyme called Rabbit Stew. Tom, Tom, waiting on the stairs, waiting for the rabbits coming in pairs. No rabbits at 2, no rabbits at 3. Here they come, time to eat some tea.
Time to eat some tea.
And so that's one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
And the other one is called Green Gravel.
Okay.
Green gravel, the grass is so green, the fairest young damsel that was ever seen. Oh Mary, your true love is dead. He sent you a letter to turn around your head.
Wow. Oh,
that is tough.
That's really tough.
So that's rabbit stew and green gravel.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards, it's close though.
Great.
This is at a pinch.
Great. This is tough. This is a tough one.
The green gravel.
As real or fake.
as fake.
Oh!
But I think it's more impressive that you wrote that and that is fake. It's got a dark twist, but a lot of the nursery rhymes are creepy and messed up, aren't they?
I think I can't get past. I can't get past a rabbit eating tea. I'm just not sure. Oh, wait, tea is in dinner. I'm thinking it's nibbling on some English breakfast.
No, it's then having a meal. It's having a hot meal.
Here comes the rabbit. It's like it's chewing through that tea over there.
Then green, I'm with you, Nat. Green gravel is the fake.
And who's chewing tea?
That's why I was like, Josh, you really fucked up on this one.
Yeah, no, you really gave yourself away.
So we're saying green gravel is fake and rabbit stew is real?
Yes.
You're wrong.
Oh!
Yes! I made up. Rabbit stew.
Yes. Oh, Josh, well done.
I feel so good.
And it was almost so profound in its simplicity, wasn't
it? So profound. Well, because green gravel's really weird. Oh, Mary, oh, Mary, your true love is dead. He sent you a letter to turn around your head. Oh.
Josh, we heard it the first time. Yeah. Let's give someone else a chance.
I was like, wow, he's written this and this is impressive. So, I don't know, in some way you've lost as well.
yeah, that's a good point. All right,
that dumb one. Yeah, that's what he wrote.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm nervous. Okay, here we go. The farmer...
Yes, this is yours.
Or maybe...
Hands down.
We're all performers. Misdirection. The farmer and the cow, the farmer and the cow. Hi-ho, the dairy, oh, the farmer and the cow. The cow eats the corn, the cow eats the corn. Hi-ho, hi-ho, dairy, oh... The cow eats the corn. Hi ho, hi ho. I can't read my writing when I copy this down. The corn meets the sun, the corn meets the sun. Hi ho, dairy o, the corn meets the sun. The sun meets the stars. Hi ho, dairy o, the sun meets the stars.
Wow, you read that so enthusiastically. Kids are now fast asleep.
Yeah. Oh, God, I really. Botched that, didn't I? Okay, here we go. A white hen sitting... Oh, these... Okay. A white hen sitting on white eggs three. Next three speckled chickens. As plump can be. An owl and a hawk and a bat come to see. But chicks beneath their mother's wing squat safe can be.
Whoa.
That's very good.
Oh, my God.
Holy cow.
Holy cow.
Holy cow. Hi-ho. Oh, the dairy and the cow.
Okay, so in my gut instinct was that hi-ho, I thought of hi-ho, it's off to work, we go, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, that's been written.
Yeah.
That's a written nursery rhyme as well. Mm. And I'm going to believe that the second one is your made-up one.
Well, because the second one has those weird, like, it's just chucking in some animals, it's just doing some stuff, which is not abnormal for a nursery rhyme. But I feel the first one is got too much, like the rhyming couplets and the bit, it's got too much for me. I think that's the real one, and I think the second one's made up.
We both think the second one is made up.
No, weren't you the other way around?
No, Josh.
No, you both thought that the
first one was real and the second
first one's
one was
real,
made up.
Second one's made up.
Wrong!
Whoa!
That's real. The first one was made
up.
Oh, my
God.
Holy
cow.
Hi-ho.
The dairy and the cow.
Let's see. Bloody hell.
And the sun meets the corn? No, the sun meets the stars? I'm in the wrong biz.
Done, yeah.
Oh, they're so
You're
weird.
A natural.
Oh, my God.
They're so strange.
I wish I nailed the delivery better.
But it's great that, like, you wrote that it was so absurd that we're like, yeah, that's got to be a real one.
It's got to be real.
Okay.
Okay, let's go.
Here we go. This is called Down by the Station. Down by the station, early in the morning. See the little puffer bellies all in a row. See the engine driver pull the little handle. Puff, puff, toot, toot. Off we go.
The little handle. That is it. That's the giveaway.
Like, now read your real one, Christian.
Yeah. Go on. We'll pretend to be stumped for a second.
Okay. This one's called Whither Shall We Gallop?
Oh, no.
Whither shall we gallop on sturdy Bolly's back? His shoes are as fresh as snow. Let's open the gate and let him decide. When a horse knows, it knows.
When a horse knows, it knows.
When a horse knows, it knows.
I thought I was so sure, and now I'm really
well,
not.
Well.
The little handle, that is what gets me.
Little handle.
And station as well. Like, the combination of the words, it's like, I understand. It just feels contemporary the way that you were using station.
Okay.
I wasn't transported to another station? Time.
What was the name of the horse? Was it Bolly or something?
Bolly.
Bolly.
Bolly the horse?
Yep.
And whither?
Oh, that's...
Whither shall we gallop on sturdy Bolly's back?
Yeah, that's the real one. Oh.
Yeah, it's got to be right. Little hand. I'm clinging to little hand.
Pull the little handle. And a little toot. And then the toot toot.
The beep beep toot toot.
Like, I can see you writing in a rush.
I'm going to go first one made up, second one real.
Me too.
You're both wrong! Oh! Little Bolly's back!
Lily Bolly's
back!
We could write a book.
Oh, my God.
We could write a book.
Yeah.
This is a reverse clean sweep. We've never had that before.
That's wild.
We're getting good at this game.
I know.
That felt sophisticated.
Come on. His shoes are as fresh as snow.
Read the bit about the little handle.
Yeah, I know. See the little puffer bellies all in a row. See the engine driver pull the little handle.
That feels sloppy and lazy. Too.
I know.
I was like, wow, someone's in a rush, but... No, the other one, it paints a picture.
Yeah, they didn't even get the word for the handle.
No, I mean the horse and the snow and the long nose, but the horse knows.
Thank you.
I was like, whoa. I'll be thinking about that tomorrow.
I'll send it to you.
Please do. I'm going to get a tat.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Welcome to Patchwork. That's it. We've come to the end. Huge, massive thanks to Nat Harris for being our guest today.
Yes.
Nat, is there anything you want to let the listeners know about that you're up to at the moment?
Absolutely. I'm a part of the Replay Festival at Comedy Republic, so I'll be doing a show on Tuesday the 16th of July, 7:30 p.m. Head to their website and grab some tickets if you'd like to come along.
And Christian and I saw that show. It's a fantastic show called Labed. A lot of silly wigs.
If you enjoyed Pussy
characters.
Willow in this episode, you get the creme de la creme of Pussy Willow.
Too kind. Come along.
Also, we've got all the socials. Welcome to Patchwork across the board.
We've got YouTube. We put all of these episodes up on YouTube.
Incredible.
Watch these. Thanks again to our patrons for supporting the show. But otherwise, as we do every week, it's time to sew a new patch into our quilt of friendship. Christian, what patch did you sew this week?
Thank you, Josh. This week I sewed into my patch Nat realizing while slicing her bread that she was wrongly using the pen side of her knife and was writing herself a little message that read, "The jabata is dry." And Nat, what did you sew into your patch this week?
This week I sewed into my patch Josh in the kitchen with a revolver. No, I mean a teaspoon with the dryer on. Hot pegs! Oh, and Josh, what did you sew into your patch this week?
Thank you, Nat. My patch this week was you making your morning smoothie with a spoonful of yogurt, Nutella, and fabric softener. Well, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Welcome to Patchwork for this week. I've been Josh.
I've been Christian.
And I've been Nat.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This podcast was self-produced by Welcome to Patchwork and edited by Josh Porter. The theme song and additional original music was composed by Christian Pissasalin.
Again with the big sniff. Fucking stop sniffing so loud.
Hey, it happens. We've all got noses.
All right. Was there anything else? I had some stuff about my mum's bra.